Welcome to today's episode of Profitable Word by Reverend Francis W. Albing, Lead Pastor, The Keeper's House Chapel International. And now to today's word.
Marketplace apostles. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Praise the Lord. Marketplace apostles, part one. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, gave them a mandate. For me, this is the most important mandate Jesus gave to his disciples. And the mandate was a mission to go to the world and preach to every creature, because the grace of God that brings salvation to men has appeared to all men through the work that Jesus did on the cross. And so the most important mission of a Christian here on earth is to go to the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Praise the Lord. Then in Matthew chapter 28 verse 19, Matthew 28 verse 19 say, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So in the first scripture, we saw how Jesus sent the disciples to go into all the world. And here again, he says, go ye therefore, and when you go, I want you to teach all nations. So all of us here, one, we need to understand that Jesus has saved us and sent us. So we have been saved and we have been sent. Number two, part of the mission for our sending, of course, core of that is to preach the message that has Jesus as the centrality of its theme. So we preach Jesus to the world. We preach the good news, the work Jesus did on the cross, his death, his resurrection, dying to save humanity and giving humanity eternal life. Praise the Lord. Then he said we should also teach the nations of the world, discipling them and baptizing them into his kingdom ideology, his kingdom power, into operating in the kingdom. So our job then is to go out there and transform people who are non-kingdom citizens to kingdom citizens. The Bible says that it's a transfer from darkness to light. If you are here, say, I am here. So it's very clear what we have been set out there to do. We have been sent. Say, I've been sent. As a child of God, I have been sent. In fact, Jesus was very mindful of this sending, and he knew all the difficulties that could come about it, you know. And he said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, which I'll go into it maybe in the second service, but let's just, he said, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So here we see Jesus sending the disciples into a terrain, knowing that he's sending them into a dangerous terrain. I'm sending you as sheep into the midst of wolves. Now, the sheep is meat to the wolf. And here Jesus said, I have sent you as meat to the wolf. So where we have been sent to has the potential to devour us. Are you here? And we have been sent to people and spaces that should prey on us, that should devour us, suck our blood, and take life out of us. But Jesus said, because of my wisdom and my spirit in you, I would like you to operate as serpents and doves at the same time. So the same way the believer has a dual spatial functionality, you can function in heaven and on earth, you are also given the capacity to function as a serpent and then also as a dove. Are you here? A dove is very harmless, but a serpent is dangerous. However, the harmless dove can show up every time and any time, but the dangerous serpent cannot show up every time. So you see that the serpent has to hide from animals, other things, and then human beings looking forward to killing it. It always has to hide to flourish. But the dove, rather, that is harmless, has to show up all the time. So the offensive guy, the aggressive guy, has to hide and flourish, and the non-aggressive guy can show up in town. So it's saying that we should imbibe into us these two attributes, that when it's time for us to hide, to flourish, we should do that. And when it's time to also appear and become pets, most people, I mean, if you go abroad, you see the doves. It's unlike Africa where, you know, you take catapult and stone and go to the bush and try to kill a dove. You know, when I was young, I started rearing some doves and were even stealing other people's doves. You know, and all of that. So abroad, you see, you are there and the doves are coming around you. Did you watch Sophia? You're just doing this. I wish I was in the village. This is meat, but you can't touch it. And that is it. In more, I don't want to use a word that I shouldn't use. In a more legislative environment, the dove, even though it's an animal, knows that it has protection. And because of that protection, it can come and, you know, play with people that also see it as meat. Are you here at all? But it knows that because of the authority of the government, you cannot consider it as meat functionally. So because of the authority of Jesus Christ sending us, even though we are meat to the world and the people we are going to preach to, we still have to go there with all the boldness, because we know that he himself has inscribed the protective law in their heart that this one is untouchable. Don't touch this one. And so there is no reason why any believer should be afraid stepping out there. Praise the Lord. Tell somebody there's no reason that you should be afraid stepping out there. It's upon this platform that you have to understand that you are the feet, the eyes, the ears. In fact, you are the ambassador of Christ in spaces. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says that you are ambassadors for Christ. So we are supposed to represent Christ in spaces. Now, we are going to take Joseph as our case study for who an apostle in the marketplace is. So the marketplace is not our regular space. Jesus said it's a space for wolves. So when you are going into the market, you have to understand that the market is not a church. When you are stepping out there, you have to understand that it is not a space that is, you know, predominantly religious or godly. It's a space that is secular, if for anything. It's a jungle. Tell somebody the marketplace is a jungle. And you are still called to be in the marketplace. You have to preach with me. Tell somebody you are called to be in the marketplace. It's not your regular space, but you have to be there. Praise the Lord. So when we look at Joseph, Joseph's life teaches us a lot of things. In Psalm 105, verse 16 to 22, Psalm 105, verse 16 to 22, the Bible says that, moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He broke the whole staff of bread, 17. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. Verse 20. The king sent and what? Loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. Next verse. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance. The last verse. To bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. Praise the Lord. So here we see the prophecy that explains to us the whole story and journey of Joseph. That long before, I mean, we interpret the life of Joseph the way we want to, we have to understand this fundamental truth. that it is God who caused famine in Egypt and sent Joseph ahead of them to save a generation. So don't blame the brothers. It is God who sent Joseph ahead. And the way he sent him ahead is what we see unfolding in scripture. But the key, the main purpose was that Joseph was sent ahead by God. Say, we have been sent ahead. Can't hear you at all. Come on, you got to preach with the pastor. Say, we have been sent. And Joseph was an Israelite living in around Canaan area. And he was sent to Egypt. Egypt is the proper 100% typology of the earth or the world. Like 100%. We can refer to other places and all of that. When you say Egypt, you are talking about the world proper in its secularity and spirituality. So Joseph was sent to Egypt, which at that time was not a normal thing. And the Bible said that he was put in jail. If he was sent first to be a servant, he was put in jail. Then the king now called him and made him a ruler to bind his princes at his pleasure and then with wisdom. Praise the Lord. So remember that Joseph has been sent into the marketplace. He's been sent into the world. There are a lot of Christians who don't want to have anything to do with the world. Don't want to have anything to do with secular stuff, secular space. Please open your heart and receive the word of God. There are a lot of Christians who don't want to have anything to do with some of the things that we define as secular. Praise the Lord. In industry, in the marketplace, in different workspaces, there are Christians who are there and they even find it difficult to engage. Because we have been taught over the years that these spaces will defile us, will contaminate us. We have become almost like very restrained, constrained, very restricted in our view and in our appearance in spaces, because we believe that the church is a spiritual space for the believers and the world out there is for unbelievers. And by extension, you find out that this marketplace shows itself up in different dynamics. So the market space may show itself as a political space. And in that political space, you see that if we were to do a poll here right now, being careful and wanting to go to heaven is a reason why many of us would not want to take a political opportunity. First of all, I'm a Christian. I don't want them to dent my image. I don't know what you are carrying that image for. I don't want them to defile me. But you see, it doesn't make sense. Because everything that Christ has made us has immune us against what we are afraid of. We are salt. Salt is immune to the environment. We are light. Light dispels darkness. That darkness does not affect the light. We are yeast. Yeast sends its aura and power into anything that it finds itself in. So it is a mystery how we have arrived in this place of having a perspective or a philosophy that makes us very extremely careful to be overwhelmed or swallowed by a world that we have capacity to influence rather than they influencing us. It's a mystery. And I understand that it has come from a long generation of preaching the word of God, seeing the word of God from a certain perspective. But the Bible says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. You see, one day Jesus was there and then he was sending the disciples and he said, I send you to go into the, go and recover the lost sheep of the Lord. And he said, other sheep I have, which are not in the fold. And Jesus said that, I have not been sent to the healthy. I have been sent to the sick. And the sick live in the hospital. That's a world. The hospital is not a world for well people. It's a world for sick people. That's a marketplace that we have been sent to places that are sick. So he can say that go to the byways, go to the corners, go to the hello, and then just and counsel everyone. You are going to prostitute joint. You are going to places where people are corrupt. And you can't say because I'm a Christian, I don't want to be in politics. Because people are corrupt in politics. That is where we have been sent to go. A lot of you are going to take assemblyman. You're going to take it. One serious thing. Look at Esther. Esther was a Jew. She found herself in a very strange land. Then she entered into pageantry. We need to enter into pageantry. Beauty pageantry. And the same way, and because of course you determine your outfit. And the fruit of the spirit you bear determines in a very lawful atmosphere what people can do with you or what people may not be able to do with you. When we're young, we're afraid of all these beauty pageant, they sleep with them to make them win. Really? Really? If you are beautiful, you have good legs, you have good height, you have pointed nose, you can speak well, you are intelligent. Enter there. Someone sleeping with you or not sleeping with you, it's at your call. It's at your call. Look at all these houses. They are giving them for a price. They are all going to unbelievers. We have a lady here. Aha, she was Miss Universe 2000. When she was going for the pageantry, the mother almost killed her. Then she won. And they gave her an estate here in Accra. Years after, that is the estate she went to stay with the mother. The same mother that almost killed her for entering the pageant. You understand? Because we have been taught that beauty pageantry is for unbelievers, is for sinners, and everybody there, they are sleeping with everyone there. Boy, in this country, there are laws. We have been sent there. A major marketplace that we are abandoning has to do with chieftains. A lot of Christians won't even venture there because we are afraid of their rituals. We are afraid of the traditional rituals that will be done before someone is installed as a chief and all of that. Now, if it is a very proper place, before somebody is selected as a chief, the oracles would have spoken about a person. Two of us. Now, this is where your power lies. If the oracle has selected me, then I have a say. I have a say. The oracle said, I'm the one to sit on the seat. Then I have a say. I have a say that you will not install me as a chief or a queen mother based on your traditional beliefs. It has to be at my belief. It has to be at the instance of my faith. This is what my faith recognizes. And there is a Christian way of installing a chief. So that we that have got the wisdom of God will not leave all this chieftaincy position to people who have the wisdom of the world. Who should be ruling who? You sit with the elders. This is the negotiation. I think the series is going to go beyond today. This is a negotiation. If you are planning of cutting animals on my feet, no. You want to put some buttercase on me? No. I'm coming in anointed. He said they have chosen me. This is the new generation. This is the new faith. Do you understand? I'm not possibly going to fight you on the entities you serve and all of that. But if I have been chosen, and the entities, the oracle, they knew that this is my faith and my position. So if we cannot agree on how you want to install me, then I'm not going in there. And they are afraid of the oracle. So I'm telling, are you here? Talk to somebody. Say, God is talking to you, pa. Yeah. There are powerful chiefs in this country who are Christians. And they didn't have to be installed as traditional chiefs. This is the power we have. We have the power to negotiate. We have the. Are you here at all? So we are running every time we are running. Running away from the marketplace. I don't want anybody to come and insult me. So my children will not go into politics, really. So the good people are running away from politics. And that's why you see that in our time, once you decide to tell the truth and be incorruptible, the whole system will fight against you. Why? Because we don't, it's a gang gap in that space. And the gang gap has grown because we have abandoned that space to people who don't have the mind of God or who don't have the kind of fruit of the Spirit that a believer bears. To uphold integrity, probity, accountability. Hello? Freedom, justice, integrity, dignity, upholding human dignity. So the kind of people we have left there, you see, the minority has to do with the people of light who can think straight, and the majority have a certain way of thinking. So when you are now the minority, you become hunted in that space because we are refusing to amass numbers in that space. That's why you see campaigners, individual campaigner against corruption. Are you here at all? Because we are not entering. We don't have numbers. We need to tell somebody we need to enter. I foresee that in the next 4 years, a lot of you will enter into politics. A lot of you will enter into law. You know that there was a time where people were saying that, oh, lawyers go for lodge. They belong to lodge, Freemasons, so blah, blah, blah. You'll be a lawyer who will not be in the Freemason. Maybe you'll be a free carpenter. If you're a Christian, you're a Christian. Praise the Lord. Are you blessed? So Joseph's story really teaches us a number of things. His life points to our God-given assignment in the marketplace. And this assignment, I have just bulleted them maybe in three. One, service. Two, interpretation of dreams. And three, strategies for execution. So we see Joseph's assignment basically in service, interpretation of dreams, and strategies for execution, proffering solution. Joseph also teaches us how we should position ourselves to interpret dreams of different people in the marketplace. And what that does is that it helps us to give meaning to the dreams of people in the marketplace. Praise the Lord. So let's just take them one by one. Let's say service and interpretation of dreams put together. All right? If you are here, say I'm here. Yeah. Right. Service and interpretation. So you could see clearly that the Bible makes us understand that when Joseph was sent in Psalm 105, he was a servant to Potiphar. He was a servant to the captain of the guard in the prison. And then he served also Pharaoh in his government. Praise the Lord. Now, when he was in prison, that is a marketplace. And the prison is not a place that we really want to be. You get it? Prison is not a place that we really want to be. So, why does God allow his children in prison or in certain marketplaces? Why does God allow his children in certain marketplaces? In this our case, in prison. That's in Genesis chapter 39, verse 20 to 23. Let's read it speedily. Why does God allow that? And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph. Was he with him in the prison? Tell somebody that in the marketplace, God is with you. The Lord was with him in the prison and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. These are things you need to put in your heart. That when you go to the marketplace, one, the Lord is with me. He's showing me mercy. And he's showing me favor in the marketplace. Nothing will kill you. you will succeed as well. Because God is there. And where God is, you must be happy to be there. Long ago, even intellectualism, Christians did not want it. What is it? Hey, listen. Tell somebody, be very careful here. Be very, very careful here. Paul was an intellectual. Jesus was speaking the scribes and the knowledgeable people of his time. They said, wow, what manner of wisdom? This guy is too much. You have to be a too much person in that marketplace. I'm feeling this thing. And in the prison, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer. All right? Next verse. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So here the question is, why does God allow his children to appear in prison? Because prison is not a nice place. The marketplace is full of wolves. Why does he allow us to be there? Of all the things we have said, that his presence is there, his mercy is there, his favor is there, we need to learn some more. Now, mostly you can see that Joseph is here because his brothers have sold him out of hatred. Then he sold to the Ishmaelite. They sell him to Mr. Potiphar. Mr. Potiphar, so that's how he lands in Egypt. Mr. Potiphar also, through Mrs. Potiphar, throws him in jail. Then he gets to the jail, and then he's fully in the Egyptian system. So in that prison, the Lord is the one keeping him there. But how did he get there? He got there by God using poor treatment of his life as a channel to position his destiny. So in chapter 40, verse 15 of Genesis, look at what he said. Genesis 40, 15. He said, for indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. And here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. So he just recounting his story that, boy, it's not been easy. I was stolen. Now they have lied on me and put me here. It's not a nice place to be. The market is not a nice place to be. The workplace is not a nice place to be. Even if it's feeding you. You can see that, Charlie, waking up in the morning and going, it's not a joke. Hello? And many people will be going doing. And when your boss calls you in the night, boy, it's not an easy, but it's a place God wants us to be. So you can see that it's a mysterious weapon of positioning. The prison comes with treatment that are not nice, and then it will land you in that marketplace. Many people are working because they need to feed their families. But before you get to the marketplace, sometimes good and bad things will happen, and then you will land yourself in a marketplace. When the Bible says all things work together, Joseph is the real all things work together for the good of the one that loves the Lord, who is called according to his purpose. So when you see tribulation, when you see challenges coming your way, they are all mysteries for God to land you in the marketplace. Praise the Lord. Talk to me. Praise the Lord. So if you are looking for a smooth ride to the palace, just know that you may go through the office of the prison to the palace. And many people don't, you want a good life, but you hate the marketplace. I don't know how you are going to be rich if you hate the marketplace. No matter what we say, once you enter into politics, there are opportunities. You watch the people who have come this time. In 4 years, even those who will not steal will make something. Are you here at all? The marketplace has opportunities. Working gives you opportunities. So sometimes you have a boss who is highly political. And you want to stop the job. Wow. Look at someone and say, wow. A boss is preparing you, is positioning you. When you are encountering rejection, it is direction to fulfill destiny. So, we have become too malleable, too breakable as children of God because wolves are there. I don't want to enter there. Jesus says, go to where the wolves are. I have sent you there and nothing will happen. Please tell somebody that. Be bold and go where Jesus wants you to go. Praise the Lord. And when we get to the marketplace, what does Jesus want us to do? He wants us to serve our way up under all circumstances. In your workplace, you are supposed to serve your way up. And the easiest way to rise is through service. In Genesis 40 verse 4, we see clearly that, and the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. And he served them. And they continued a season inward. So when he was in jail, he was serving. He was serving his colleagues there. The real task they gave him was that serve this space. We should have a mind of serving. Because the way up is through service. Even in the church, if you don't have a mind of serving, you don't show up for promotion. Well, that's why they do appraisal. Somebody has to be serving. There are people who have a boss mentality. I mean, a typical boss mentality. I serve no one, everyone serves me. But Jesus said, I'm serving you because the greatest amongst you is a servant. If you don't have the heart of a servant, then you are far away from the neighborhood of greatness. Your bosses will love you if you have a servant heart. You can dress for it, but if you are not serving for it, forget it. You are just an advertisement for something that cannot function. It's like a beautiful woman who doesn't know how to cook. That's a bomb, you know. You ought to, because when we see your beauty, we also measure your brain. Because normally, we are thinking that your beauty is equal to your brain. But when people engage you, then receive beauty with brains in Jesus' name. You are a man. There's a man that I was dealing with. The case said he is also looking for a woman who will marry him and take care of him. Boy, there are traditional care roles. Men are providers, especially if they are able bodies, and women are carers. Don't swap the gender roles. So imagine a man coming to marry thinking that my wife should be taking care of me. That's that. The children are in trouble. Are you here at all? And if the woman even has billions of billions, just the fact that she's taking care of you, something would die inside that woman. Because at least a woman should be taken care of. Look, it feels small. Small pampering. So you should have a mind. Tell somebody, have a mind. From today in your office, serve your boss until they call you Hunam Pejuma. Are you here at all? I'm not hearing you at all. Are you sure you are here? That is the way you are going to make the impact Jesus wants you to make. So many people run away from task. Oh, it's not my job. Is it my TOR? It's not part of my terms of reference. Why are you bringing me? This is somebody's responsibility. Anytime they are giving you somebody's responsibility, God is calling you into higher productivity. He took the man who hid his one talent and gave it to the one who had appropriated his five talents. And he said, I'm increasing your base so that now you can have higher productivity. What you are running away from is what you have been praying for. You have been praying for greatness, productivity. You have been praying for elevation, promotion. It comes through additional task and your willingness. Are you here at all? Look at, I mean, the scripture is far away, but we can still learn from it. Job chapter 36 verse 11. Very quick. Job 36 verse 11 says, if they obey and serve him, They shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in what? Pleasure. Prosperity and pleasure are tied to service. Even God in Exodus 23:25, he said, you shall serve the Lord and he shall what? Bless. Boy, if you serve God, he will bless you. If you serve men, you will be promoted. You go into the workplace. Let it never be said that a keeper's house member in the workplace is running away from extra duties. Even in the house, they must call you. Look, when they call you whilst you are in the house, it's a compliment. No correct boss will call a foolish subordinate when they are under pressure. No. When they call you when they are under pressure, it's a testament to your character and your competence. Are you here at all? You are valuable. You are a person of worth. You have credibility. We believe that under pressure you can deliver and you can contribute some value to the chain. If your boss has never called you out of the office, oh boy, you should be crying today. And if you have been running away, some of you leave the office, you shut your phone. Small sex you want to have with your husband, you have shut the phone. That's why when that opportunity for training in Paris comes, your name also doesn't come up. Because if we are not calling you for extra time to score Malam goals for us, then you will not be part of the team. You know, some players, even when they are injured and they can play for, they can play 30%, they add them to the team. You say, Odia, come and trot. We know that you can score Malam goal. May not be able to run like the way a typical DM will run around boss to boss, but with your bottom mummy, just a bottom mummy. Go on, are you here at all? Come on now. Are you sleeping or you are awake? It's very early in the morning. Receive the grace to serve in Jesus' name. You lose yourself when you abandon opportunities for service. Most of the competencies you have in this life, you will have them because you served as an apprentice. You are not born with it. Even when it's inherent, it will take men with high level of skill and experience to throw light on it, discover it, and develop it for you. Pastors who don't serve anybody, they don't do well. Even in the ministry. Jesus, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, you must always have something and someone you are looking up unto. Tell somebody, sometimes up will look like down. Ish. God was taking Joseph up, but he took him to the dungeon. Joseph was making progress for being a servant to Potiphar, captain of the guard, and Pharaoh. Naturally, it looked like his life was going down when he was on that trajectory of serving Potiphar, prison, Pharaoh. By the time they saw, God's own definition of up was down. You know, when you are serving, people don't see you. When you are serving, the people who see you are the most important people in your life. Because the people who have the power to promote you and to create opportunities for you are the people you serve. And if the masses are not seeing your value, it shouldn't bother you at all when you are serving. That's why they say, oh, yeah, bawa. Are you here? When the time for appointment and promotion comes, you see that the masses don't promote anybody. The people who have the power to promote are the people God has put in close proximity for you to serve. And if you serve with all your heart, with gladness, boy, when I was serving my pastor, they said, why is a prophet serving a teacher? It's neither here nor there. Anointing is anointing. I mean, serving a teacher will not rob you of your prophetic anointing. Rather, it's going to crystallize and build better capacity for you as a minister. Because just imagine a prophet who cannot balance doctrine. I mean, it's the reason why we have a lot of fetish priests. Papa no kokanya yesimanenka. Yesimanenka. So when you are veering into the zone of familiar spirit, you still don't have any borderlines. Because you were never taught by a pastor or a proper shepherd. Neither did you serve. You are just Elijah. You appeared from Tishbe. Shekwalaba takaya. I'm a man of fire. I spit fire. Elukwa takaya. See, if you appear suddenly, you will disappear suddenly. Who is your father? They asked Saul. They said, whose child is this? Who is his father? He said, he's a son of Kish. Shooting star. Kai. Because we can't do more from here, tell somebody, let the service enter your heart. Let the service enter your heart. That's your way up. That's your way up. Do you know that Elisha did a double portion because he served Elijah? The Elijah, the man of fire, we don't know who he served. So he was carried away. You see, the way he appeared is the same way he was whisked away. He appeared by fire. He was whisked away by the chariot of fire. Tell somebody, be careful. Your real roots are in your service. And look at Elisha. Brutal anointing. 2-3 times what the master did. Look at Joshua. Joshua. Look at his boss Moses. Served in Egypt. Ran from Egypt. Went to serve Jethro. Learned how to be a pastoralist with animals, not knowing God was training him to pastor his flock. What God, you see, God would train in Egypt, withdraw, polish, and send you back to sender into Egypt. When you are in the church, you should really want to be in the world. That's why we go to school. It's Egyptian knowledge. This is Pharaoh's knowledge. We come to church, we recalibrate, fine-tune. Then God will send us back to the world because we understand corporate mind. We understand how the thinking is in that place. That's why we sat in the same classroom. But what we have now is that we have met the God of the burning bush. And so we are going there with double capacity. We can balance on the spirit side and we can balance on the secular side. Am I preaching to somebody at all? That's how when a Christian enters into the marketplace and makes money, their usefulness to society is higher to when an unbeliever does. Because a Christian will sponsor a godly life and sponsor things that will still extend godly life to more people. Praise the Lord. When an unbeliever makes money, and it's not to fault them, it's not a judgment. If you don't have Christ, immorality should be sweet in your mouth. It is Christ in us that constrains us. That with money, you know, a young man with fire in your blood, you are not changing girls morning, afternoon, evening. What is not making you do that is Christ in us. So Joseph is an important, because even in Egypt, they change his name. They gave him a wife to marry. And then he was appointed into government. He still didn't change his perspective of God. Pharaoh did not change. Pharaoh could not change. Look, we are too afraid. We have to enter there knowing that this space cannot alter my faith in Christ. I'm entering there. May you enter in Jesus' mighty name. They say, oh, president come and then the seat corrupts them. You see, power power can reveal what is inside of you. It doesn't change anybody. If you are corrupt, when you go there, it's like where they have put the spotlight on you. We will see what was hidden before. Are you here at all? It's an enhancer. The power will enhance what has been hiding inside of you. There is a fertilizer for foolishness inside of you. It's a foolishemia. Foolishitis. It has been hiding like an infection. It has not blossomed. But now it has an enabling environment. So it has become opportunistic. Yeah, by the time you know, no. Your foolishness is everywhere. And you didn't contract it. It has always been there. Out of the abundance of the heart. Jesus makes a difference. Jesus makes a difference. If you are there, please. Jesus makes the difference. Jesus wants to use you so much more. And God was with him. He showed him mercy and gave him favor. Pharaoh did not have much to do. It was God who was at work. Please, it doesn't matter how high you have risen. If God is not your foundation, your fall is just a matter of time. And boy, like Daniel, people will set you up in the marketplace. Juju will come after you. You need Jesus Christ as your protection. I like what Pharaoh said. Joseph made a recommendation. Look for a man who is discreet, who is wise, to execute the interpretation of this dream. Pharaoh now said, when we look through the whole land, we have not seen anybody in whom the Spirit of God is. So since you are the one who carries the Spirit of God, you are the one who is going to be the governor of Egypt. Brother, school can take you as far as it can. Network can be your net worth as far as it will be. But you know that networks bend down. The cables have been melted for something else. Cables can melt. Network cables can melt. We need God. We need Jesus. Praise the Lord. How many of you know that we need Jesus? We need Jesus. Yeah. It was God who was making Pharaoh dream. Making the people think God is the one who orchestrates all these things. But you need to be someone whom God is residing in for him to be orchestrating things when you appear. I like everybody to close your eyes right now. Maybe you are a very wonderful person, a good person. You love your job. You love people, but you don't have Jesus. When all is said and done, understand that our greatest help is the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe today you are here, you don't know Jesus. You want to say, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. Jesus, I want you to come into my life and save my soul and take me to the next level. Lead me where I should be and cause me to be your ambassador, spreading your kingdom, spreading your personality, your good news amongst people. If you are here, you want to say, I don't want to be in hell. I want to spend eternity with you. If you are that person, please kindly raise your right hand and you say, Pastor, I would like you to pray with me. I want Jesus to come into my life, become my Lord and my personal Savior. If you are that person, I would like you to raise your right hand. You want Jesus in your life today. You say, Pastor, pray with me. I want Jesus to come into my life, become my Lord and my personal Savior. If you are that person, I would like to pray with you right now. You don't need to come forward wherever you are. If you raise your right hand above your head, I will see you and I will pray with you, and your life will never be the same again. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. God bless you. God bless you, brother. God bless you. God bless you. Please, all of you have raised your hand together with all of us. Let's pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner who needs a remission of sin. Come into my life. Become my Lord and my personal Savior. Forgive me all my sins. Today, I ask you to become my Lord and my personal Savior, to serve you the rest of the days of my life. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Can you put your hands together for the Lord? Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Oh, clap your hands and bless the Lord.
Be a part of our family on social media at the Keeper's House Chapel International. Visit us at the Testimony Arena, Jefamco Junction, Medina Estate. You can also follow Reverend Francis Obing on all social media platforms. God bless you.